shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Every single spring, that first day that I walk outside and I see that yellow dust all over my truck, I'm like, that is Satan's dandruff. It destroys me. I legitimately can't go outside for longer than 3 minutes because my eyes get swollen, my eyes get puffy, my nose gets congested, and I just simply can't breathe. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. When I started taking Claritin D about 2 months ago, I can finally get back outside and play pickleball again, which is what I love to do, but I couldn't do it because my allergies were so bad. Claritin D has legitimately allowed me to go outside again. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Preventing the federal government doing for the Negroes, preventing the society doing for the Negroes, that which you think had to be done?
No, I didn't envision that then. I must confess that that period was a great period of hope for me, and I'm sure for many others all across the nation. Many of the Negroes who had about lost hope saw a solid decade of progress in the South. And in 1954, which was, 64, 1963, 9 years after the Supreme Court's decision to be in the March on Washington, meant a great deal. It was a high moment, a great watershed moment. But I must confess that that dream that I had that day has at many points turned into a nightmare. Now, I'm not one to lose hope. I keep on hoping. I still have faith in the future. But I've had to analyze many things over the last few years, and I would say over the last few months. I've gone through a lot of soul searching and agonizing moments. And I've come to see that we have many more difficult days ahead, and some of the old optimism was a little superficial, and now it must be tempered with a solid realism.
It is Thursday, January 11th, 2024. I'm Carlos Whitaker. This is the Carlos Whitaker Podcast, and I am so, so glad that you're here. It's going to be an incredible conversation today, filled with hope. So I got a question. You ready to jump in? We got work to do. Let's go. That was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He was speaking in 1967 at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, with NBC News' Sander Vancor about this new phase of the struggle for genuine equality. A new phase, meaning that, you know, after everything he said, after his speech, after the march, he used some very powerful words. He said that the dream had turned somewhat into a nightmare. I think a lot of times we don't give Dr. King his proper dues when it comes to what he felt like the progress had been. Obviously, with his assassination, we saw that progress had a long way to go. And I feel like his words were prophetic. There's something in me that thinks that people well, not something in me. I hear it on podcasts and I hear it, or I see it on Twitter and I see it written by, you know, Bible believing Christians that there's nothing else to do in civil rights. Like we're fine. We had a black president. 2020 was a facade, people chasing after social justice. The Bible has nothing to do with social justice and everything to do with just justice. And I just can't think of a better time to reopen some of these conversations that I think a lot of people have moved past, right? Because there's other suffering in the world. There's other suffering happening around us. There's other things. And the spotlight hasn't been on America and equality for a minute. And there's a lot of people that not only have moved on, but have said that it never was a problem in the first place. There was a blanket pulled over your heads. You were tricked. And today we're going to debunk that. We are going to debunk the fact that, the Bible isn't, there's social justice isn't in, the Bible, that the Lord is the God of, is a God of justice, not social justice. And to do that, we've got my great friend, LaTosha Morrison, on the podcast today. LaTosha runs an organization called Be the Bridge. She is a New York Times bestselling author, and she is a longtime friend of mine. LaTosha and I, became friends before, you know, before I was having conversations about any of this. We were speaking on a children's leader tour. And for kids, for people that work, adults that work with kids, and the conversations on justice, this was pre-2020. Obviously, she became a voice that a lot of people lean into in 2020. And then in 2021 and 2022, similar to me, got a lot of pushback because people suddenly felt like, because there's a few bad apples teaching bad things, that the entire message is a farce. And it's not. And so LaTosha today, this is very the Carlos Whitaker podcast content. I'm so glad that this is episode two, because this is where I want to go. I want to lean into these conversations. You know, we talk about America in 2024 and, you know, have Americans truly been repentant about race and what maybe they saw in 2020 and 2021 that felt horrible, right? Like remember we peeled the hood back, the lid off of America, and we saw its underbelly and we saw things that were like, oh wow, this isn't good. But then what inevitably happens is when you look at something too long, you get used to it, and then you start think that, well, maybe it's not as bad as you think it is. So today LaTosha is going to help us. She's going to help us be actively repentant, all of us, even when, if and when you're not confronted with it every single day. She's going to help us do what Dr. King was asking us to do and to be bridge builders. And what is that going to look like in 2024, especially when we're going to get a lot of sound bites that are going to be thrown our way that are going to tell us that racism is not a problem in America anymore, that diversity is shouldn't be something that people are focused on, that equality is something that is already here, we don't need to worry about it. I'm telling you, this conversation is more important, I believe, now than it was in 2020. So why don't we allow LaTosha to take us to the place that we need to go. Carlos Whitaker podcast family, would you do me a favor and lean into this conversation with LaTosha Morrison? Okay, podcast family, I've got my dear friend LaTosha Morrison on the podcast today. My friend, how are you doing?
I am so good, so good. I am doing well. Like I was telling you, it's a little chilly. But
I'm game.
I like to see my breath when it's cold. Yes. I want to see my breath. I mean,
yes.
We stay hot so long that when it gets cold, I want to suck it all in. Just live in this moment of just brisk and goodness. Absolutely. It seems like I could think better in the cold.
Me too. Me too. Now listen, there's going to be a lot of people right now that think we are insane, that we have lost our minds. Cause you know, there are people that are the same as us, but the opposite.
Exactly.
Right? Like the second they see their breath, it's over. Like they are just depressed. It is like, you know, the world may as well end. And I'm the same way in July where I'm like, can you please? Yes. Fix the earth.
Yes. I'm living for October. I'm like, if we could just make it to October.
Yes. Yes. And you're in Atlanta, right?
Yes, I am in Atlanta. And in Decatur, where it's greater.
Yes. So I don't know if you know this, but like I was raised in Decatur.
Okay, right.
So okay. I went to Shamrock High School, which is now I want to say like Shamrock Junior High or something like that.
Okay.
Right off Lawrenceville Highway. Uh-huh. And, so anyway, I have fond memories of Decatur.
I did not know that about you.
Learn something. Fond memories in Decatur. Okay. So Latasha, let's get to it. You're a, you know, you and I were having a lot of conversations, in a probably more public forum in 2020 and 2021, in spaces where a lot of people were looking to us for education and in grace-filled ways and conversations about race. Right. And you are, I would say you're a bridge builder, you're a reconciler. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times being a bridge builder and a reconciler, I think sometimes people think, oh, you know, that means that these people, if that's what they do, they're not going to call things out when they see them, because you can't burn a bridge, because you got to be a bridge builder. So you just have to be kind and nice. And I think sometimes we could get pigeonholed into this certain, point of view or perspective where the truth is like being a bridge builder means you do have to call out some of the things, that are harder for people to hear. Mm-hmm. Now, I say all of that to say we are in 2024 now as this podcast is airing. And I think it's important to reset the conversation on race in America and on things that we need to work on and things that, a lot of people may have felt like, hey, well, we've had a few years with, you know, different politicians running different things. So aren't things just better? And so I would love to just open the floor to you and say, Latasha, it's the beginning of 2024. Where do you feel like America is when it comes to the conversation of race and where we are with that sort of perspective?
Unrepentant.
Wow.
Yeah. This
unrepentant.
Period. Because when you are repentant, you turn away from. It means a complete turning away from. And we have not done that. We have, remain silence. A lot of the things that we saw in 2020 were performative. If you look at some of the things that's happening in our society, when we talk about, especially African American history, when we think about some of the things that we did in the 60s to try to make amends, to make right, as it relates to policy, a lot of those things have been pulled back. And then even when you think about that, when you're fully repentant, there shouldn't even be an opportunity for those things like, I'm going to give you this, then I'm going to take it back. When we start talking about equity and what it means as it relates to justice, and if anybody should understand this, it should be Christians, but we're dealing with really unhealthy hermeneutics and bad exegesis of scripture. And so, and we've been dealing with that for centuries, because we're looking at a time where we had a slave Bible. So, you know what I'm saying? So so there's a lot to repent for that we have not. There's a cesspool, and there's things. Yeah. Are we where we used to be? No. Have there been improvements? Yes. But a part of being a bridge builder, when you think about a bridge, when you think about the difficulties of bridge building, you know, when you think about some of the massive structures around our country, just bridges in general, when we're thinking physically, people have lost their lives. You know, people have lost their lives. Think about the Golden Gate Bridge, the, you know, I cannot think of the name of the bridge that's going into Louisiana right now, but it's like 6 miles over water. Just imagine. Yes. Just imagine. Yes. But this is difficult work. And so we don't want to be uncomfortable. Anything that makes us uncomfortable, we don't want to sit in it. We want comfort, but we only want comfort when it pertains to this subject on race, you know? And, and so we have to, as a bridge builder, we have to lean into the discomfort. You know, and then if we want, we say as Christians, we want to be like Jesus, you know, and this is where the work that I do is centered in the gospel. So, and so I have to talk about Jesus in this, you know?
Yeah.
And so, if we're trying to work from that, when was Jesus ever comfortable?
Never.
You know, just, I mean, and so why are we seeking comfort? And, you know, but a lot of times we want to seek comfort. We want to seek complacency and, you know, and we're not really leaning into the conversation. So it's really important that we, that we, really seek, to be uncomfortable. I was asked this question yesterday, you know, and that's what truth telling is about, because bridge building is about truth telling. But I think there's a way, and a part of my personality in starting Be the Bridge, I am a bridge builder at heart. So whether I'm talking about, you know, race, whether I'm talking about, cooking or whatever, like that is at heart who I am. You know, at the core of my being, that is who I am. And so that's not something that I have to strive for. It's something that I just rest in. And I think that's important. I know we're all made different. And I think it takes different people to do this work. You know, we're all not going to have the same voice because listen, it would be boring. You know, just like we said, when you came on, you were like, you know, we like cold weather. Some of you like hot weather. Some of you like no weather. I mean, you know, diversity is not something that has to be divisive, you know, there's beauty in diversity. And so, and I think if we just need to really embrace that.
Yeah. No, that's so good. You know, you talk about being unrepentant and how, I feel like that is, you know, that does lean into, once you repent from something, then you're uncomfortable, right? Because now you're turning and you're facing something you've never seen before.
Right.
So now it's like, oh, I got to see this.
Yeah.
For the listener that's listening, that's like, okay, maybe that's me. Maybe in 2020, I was like, okay, I want to be an ally. I want to help. I've got some verbiage. I've got some language. I've got some ways I can enter into some conversations. But oh my gosh, you know, I see less videos of police brutality against black bodies. I see, things are trending differently. And so I'm just not seeing these. What are ways to actively be repentant? What are ways that people can actively continue to step into and towards repentance when it comes to this?
Right. I think some of this, it's all about resistance also. Okay. Resisting complacency, resisting silence, resisting, you know, resegregation. So we, you know, it's just resisting that silence. And I think, everybody, a lot of times people are silent because they're fearful and they don't know what to do. And so I think right now we had a lot of people who had a heart, like they really saw in 2020, like, you know, this is broken.
Yeah.
And so they needed direction into what to do. But then the moment when there became pushback on that direction, people kind of like fell apart, you know, because it's like, I don't want to, you know, lose my job, or I don't want to, you know, mess up this relationship or whatever those conditions may be. But one of the things that drives a lot of this is fear. You know, at the core of that is fear. So we really have to really be bold and have courage in this season, in this time. And if we look to history and see when difficult things were done, there were times like we're in a rough place in our history, but we've been here before and it has been much worse before. So we have to look to history. History shows us the way, you know,
right.
History, as they say, has receipts. And so, yep. but a lot of times now what you're being made afraid of is history.
Yep.
You know,
it's true.
And anything else. And when we're looking at the Bible, this is an account of history also. This is not a fairy tale. This is an account of history. When we look at American history, this is not a fairy tale. This is an account of history. So we can't pick and choose what stories and what narratives we want to tell. If we want to heal, we cannot conceal. And so we have to make sure that we're telling the truth, and we have to lean into that truth. And I think what happens is you have to find a community of people. And that's why with Be the Bridge, we have Be the Bridge groups, and they are instrumental in you doing this, not alone, but in community with other people, you know, so that you have the support system of whether it means, you know, local things that's happening in your community, you know, national things that's happening in your community, or even international things that's happening in the world around us, you know, kind of like our, you know, our Judea, our Samaria, and our uttermost parts, you know, and those are the things that we have to care about. And so I think, we have to really think about, you know, do we really care, you know, and are we really wanting to turn away from some of these things? And it starts with you as an individual. And so a lot of times we want to start with systems and communities and all these things. But as you change, as your heart changes, the places that you intersect will also change. So.
The Carlos Whitaker Podcast is partnering with Bite Toothpaste. Y'all know that my teeth have been on the struggle bus the last few years, and I'm trying to get my routine, everything I put in my pie hole, all the stuff that I'm taking care of my teeth with, along with the dentist and all the things I got to do there, trying to get it all under control. And Bite Toothpaste has helped me so much. First and foremost, it's weird to brush your teeth this way because I'm not using a tube, right? Like, we all use a tube. And so Bite Toothpaste bits, they're so convenient, right? They make dry toothpaste tablets that are made with clean ingredients, which is what I need, that are sulfate-free, palm oil-free, and glycerin-free. Okay, and so the bits that you put in your pie hole, you just pop it in. So what I do, I pop it in, I chew it up, and I start brushing. And it turns into paste just like I'm used to, but with no plastic tube or messy paste. I love it. It's been so good for me. And honestly, my teeth feel crystal clean and smooth. Okay, so Bite also... they've got these like really slick glass bottles and jars that, you know, I put my wife appreciates the aesthetic that Bite has added to our restrooms as well. So this is what we're doing. Bite is offering our listeners 20% off your first order. Give me a shot. Trust me. Try me. Okay. Go to trybite.com/humanhope or use code human hope at checkout to claim this deal. That's 20% off. That's trybite.com/humanhope.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of just kind of where we are in America and what we're hearing.
Yeah.
And then again, comparing it and contrasting it to history.
Yeah.
Where would you say that the current American narrative is straying away from history? Right.
Yeah.
Like, we see this on Twitter. We're starting to hear it from politicians' mouths. But where are we beginning to stray again away from the truth?
Yeah. Well, one of the things, and I'm going to speak to this as an African-American woman, because this is one of the things that I have to speak to, is saying, you know, trying to create this narrative that there were some good things out of slavery. You know, just,
I mean,
we've been hearing Lord that over and over again. And I'm telling you, like, common sense is not common. And you know, and I have heard this from people, like a part of the catalytic moment, that came from, starting Be the Bridge. One of those moments, as I was talking to another Christian, and she said, you know, and what Lincoln did to the South. And I'm thinking like, okay, I thought you loved Lincoln. Like, you know, I have, I have issues. I have issues, but I think people evolve and I think there's some evolution in Lincoln, but you know, he was also, I'm not even going to say it, but you know, you know, like you can read the, the documents, but, one of the things that, she said to me was like, because people love their slaves. And I remember thinking like,
oh my Lord.
And I tell the story in the book where I'm like, okay, did I change colors or what in the world? Why is she saying to this to me? Like in full, like, I mean, in full confidence, like, I mean, full throat, like, you know, saying this. Yeah. And I just remember thinking I was in shock. And I was like, what in the world? Where is this romanticized view?
Yes.
Of history of enslavement. Because I am a product of that. You know, when I look at my ancestry, you know, I look at, you know, my ancestor, who, you know, was a McQueen. Her name was, Sally McQueen, and she was born into slavery. And Sally McQueen had a baby named Emma, and Emma had a son named Willie, and Willie Nicholson is my great grandfather. That is, that is my grandmother's, that is my grandmother's, father. And so, and my mom's, you know, great grandfather, you know, and so when we look at that, we are not far removed from this history. You know what I'm saying? I'm the first one, you know, being of Generation X, I am the first one in my immediate family to have a full set of rights that was not born into segregation.
Right.
This is not ancient history.
Right.
And so I think that is one of the things that I see where these narratives are trying to be recreated, you know, and in some states they've banned, not Rosa Parks. Well, Rosa Parks, but also, Ruby Bridges.
Oh, right.
Ruby Bridges just turned 69 years old. She is on Instagram. She is still living and breathing. She is younger. And she is younger than, than my parents. And she has a full testimony. And we're banning that because we feel that it will make some children feel bad. Think about that. So you'd rather let the other kids feel bad. Yeah. Now think about where the core of that is, where you're choosing the feelings and the mental health of certain students, but not the others. You know, think about that. And so, so that's some of the things that are very concerning and, some of the silence on that. There's a lot, but I think chaos is being created intentionally because when you have chaos, you don't know what to give voice to or what to say or when to say it, you know? So I think chaos is really a strategy and that's what we're living in right now.
Chaos is a strategy. Yeah. It is. I am. Ruby Bridges is on Instagram. I don't know if that was a statement that was going to shake me as much as it's shaking me right now, but it is. It just is like, wow. I mean, that is how close to that's how history is touching.
Yes.
You can, we can touch it physically.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You know, I came across, I want to read this to you. I came across, an article. I'm not going to read who wrote it, but this is a, common thought. I think that has been, growing in the last, I would say 2 years, probably 2022 to 2024, where, you know, people are starting to get comfortable enough because we're getting so far away from 2020 to where there just seems to be this almost a mockery of what was being talked about in 2020. There's almost a swagger of like, oh my gosh, like I can't even believe that you believed in social justice. Yeah. Social justice is horrible. Social justice is, whereas in 2020, everyone, and so let me just read, I want you to just comment on this, right?
Okay
so it says, I'll just read a couple paragraphs. The Lord, The Lord is a God of social justice. That's the message in many, maybe most churches in America, in the West today. But here's the problem. The Bible doesn't actually say that. It says the Lord is a God of justice. You'll find a lot of reference to justice in the Bible, but you'll never find it preceded by the word social. But you're probably thinking, what's the difference? Isn't the God of justice? Isn't God the God of justice and social justice? Well, not if he's consistent. You see, God cannot be the God of justice and social justice because social justice is not just. Justice is getting what you deserve without favor. Social justice is getting what you don't deserve because you are favored. Justice is blind. Social justice is not. This is what a lot of people are drinking. I'm telling you, I'm seeing people that follow me. They're drinking it, Latasha. Can you please help me unpack that?
Bad hermeneutics. You're like, oh my goodness. That is just, I mean, when we hear this, I'm just like baffled. First of all, I wrote a whole book about it and there's a section in there, on justice. But one of the things I think when we look at scripture, first of all, you're saying that God is not concerned with the state, like God is not concerned when you talk about social, whether I eat, you know, God is not concerned whether, I go to the doctor. God is not concerned. All of these things and scripture shows us differently. I mean, there's a whole story in the Bible on the Good Samaritan, you know, and what does the Good Samaritan do at the end? He gives money to pay of all his medical expenses. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just this really bad study of Jesus. And I mean, but this is what we've been living through, you know, where, you know, when we talk about, when people talk about the sin of Ham, like when we, now that we are more, biblically literate, you know, we can attest that that is not scriptural. But even that statement right there, like trying to separate social justice, like that is just like baffling to me. And one of the things when I'm trying to find something,
you're fine.
Quick,
one
of the things that, that Jesus does with, like, one of the first things that Jesus does when he preaches, when he comes on the scene.
Yeah.
You know, he takes a scripture from Isaiah.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And so there is a social status as it relates to being poor. You know, think about in that time who were poor, some of the marginalized, some of those that were being oppressed by the Roman Empire. You know, think about that. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Think about those spiritually captive, you know, but then also those who are physically captive, you know, where people have been wrongfully accused, and recovery to sight to the blind. So, you know, and so, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So when we hear that, but people are always, it's like you're going tit for tat. And so what I've learned, Carlos, in this, because people will exhaust you. And my voice is not for everyone.
And that is good.
And to keep my sanity, I am going to speak to those who want to go, to those who want to learn, to those who have a heart of humility, that want to see the brokenness around them.
Right.
And they want to be a part of the solution. My voice is not for those who want to stay in denial and in deceit and those who want to, really stay in sin, you know, because it makes them comfortable. And so even if reading the scripture, people will make up any other excuse to say that's real. That's exhausting. And you don't see Jesus do that with the religious leaders in scripture.
Right. You don't.
He went with the people who wanted to go. And then he instructs them, you know, I think it's in Matthew 14, you know, when he's given the disciples instructions, he says, you know, and when you come into a city and you are rejected, sometimes you have to shake the dust off my Jordans and keep it going, you know?
That's right.
You know, and that's just going to give me sanity. I don't want to waste breath with people who are not willing to hear, because what I have discovered in doing this work, there is a thing of spiritual blindness. Mm-hmm. Now, I will not stop praying for people like that. I am going to pray.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's a heart condition and I can't transform hearts, but Jesus can.
Yeah.
And so, and their story, those people, their story will never be that no one ever tried to tell them. Their story will be, as they stand before God, that someone tried to tell me this and I refused to listen.
Wow.
That's a different weight to carry.
That is.
There's too many people out here who want to walk in truth, who want to see, who wants to treat their neighbor as themselves, who wants to love, who wants the best thing. Why, when we think about this, why wouldn't we want people to have food?
Right.
Why wouldn't we want people to have medical care?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we want people to have a home? You know, why wouldn't we want all the narratives of the history told? Why don't we want people to feel like a sense of belonging and inclusion? Think about the things that we're having conversations around. Why wouldn't we want everyone to have a fair chance of education? Think about that. It takes a heartless person to say that some people deserve education and some people deserve food and some people don't. And you cannot tell me that the God that I serve is okay with that.
Right.
That goes against the very nature of who God is. And so it lets me know that people think they know Jesus, but they don't know Jesus.
Right.
There's like, I feel like there's like this fake Christianity out here.
Yeah.
And that breaks my heart, because these are my brothers and sisters.
Right.
And it breaks my heart. And if people want to have a conversation that's going to lead us somewhere, I will have those conversations. But if people want to just argue and pick and choose, and they're not dealing with the biases that's making them think this, if they're not getting to the core of why they're okay with, someone flying a Nazi flag or someone doing a Nazi salute or someone having all this language of separation and hate.
Yep.
But yet and still some of us saying that, hey, we want people to be held accountable for the wrong that they're doing.
Yes.
That's spiritual blindness. That's darkness. Yeah. That is sin. And my prayer is that God would allow them to see, you know, that the scales would be removed from their eyes, just as we saw the scales removed from the eyes of Paul, you know?
Yes.
And they would have a road to Damascus moment. And that's what's needed. You know, we need an infusion of Jesus in a lot of churches and a lot of pews, because I hear even pastors teaching this, discipling into this work. So,
Yes. The Carlos Whitaker Podcast is excited to continue to be partnering with Hiya Vitamins. Hiya makes the children's vitamins that I've been talking about for over a year now that are not filled with 5 grams of sugar and that they will not contribute to all kinds of other health issues that we're trying to avoid like some other vitamins do. No, Hiya has built a vitamin for this new generation of kids and making sure that we as parents have something to give our kids that we know are going to allow them to have the full body health we've been looking for, okay? So Hiya fills the most common gaps in modern kids' diets to provide the full body nourishment that they need, right? So this is what it's got in it. It's got a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies. First of all, that is super important for our kids, especially for those of you that have picky eaters, okay? Then it's supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and so much more. Hiya is designed for kids of all ages, all of them, right? So you got a 17-year-old, give him some Hiya vitamins just like I do. And guess what? It's sent straight to your door, so you got one less thing you got to worry about. All right, so this is what I've got for you. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/humanhope. This deal is not available on the regular website. Just go to hiyahealth.com/humanhope and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. You know, it's, and I do feel like sometimes people are like, I've tried Carlos, I've tried Latasha to have these conversations. Uh-huh. They just won't listen. They just, and it's like, I think you've given them freedom to be like, okay, well, guess what? You don't have to have the conversation anymore.
Yeah.
If they're not going to listen, then you continue to pray.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you can lean into, hey, a reminder to everyone listening, prayer actually does work.
It does.
So it's not like the second best thing. Yeah. Like you can be praying while you're talking,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so if you got to stop talking, you keep praying and hearts can change.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've seen it. There are miraculous stories of people that have the Holy Spirit is the convictor.
Yes.
We are not the convictor. So let Holy Spirit do Holy Spirit's job. And gosh, that's just so good.
Yeah.
Latasha, as we kind of end the conversation, mm-hmm. I would love for you to, as we're entering into 2024 and people are thinking, okay, I want to be a bridge builder.
Yeah.
I want to, be able to as much as I can, build bridges in my community, bridges towards, people and people groups that, maybe are oppressed, right, that maybe, are left out. What are some practical things that people can do to step into, being bridge builders in a year where there's going to be a lot of people destroying bridges? How can we step into being bridge builders?
Yeah. I'm going to speak to two different groups here. And because I think it looks different as it relates to, BIPOC people, Black and Indigenous people of color, and then also for our white brothers and sisters. And I would say, you know, one of the things is that just because things are hard and just because we don't see change, it doesn't mean that we stop.
Right.
You know, like wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be able to have this conversation. I wouldn't be where I am today if people had stopped.
Right.
You know, so that just because things get difficult, it doesn't give us a card for a way out. You know,
so good.
I think we have to lean in even deeper. You know, we have to have community. We have to have support and we have to listen. We don't like to listen. We want to do, but not listen. Listen, I think what happened in 2020 was there was a lot of people trying to do things performatively, but not really leaning in and listening and educating themselves. Because when you begin educating yourself as far as the history, we have more books now than we ever had before. And so some of these, maybe they're not in the library, but we have the internet. The internet, there's Audible, there is Amazon, there are all these, you know, even local bookstores, like some of these indie bookstores that you can go to. There's a wealth of information that is at our fingertips that we've never had, that my parents didn't have, that your parents didn't have, that is telling the truth that can be fact checked. You know, and so what I would say is to lean into that truth, to make a commitment, to educate yourself, and not only educate yourself, but, to listen and to find community amongst, you know, Black and Indigenous people of color to learn and grow from. I think that's really important. You know, some of the trainings that we do across the country, one of the trainings, one of our trainers, she had, you know, this list of, the papers of when all the states that have, that left the union. Okay. Wow. That seceded from the union. She has the documents and what was written. I mean, that stuff is there. And so when
it's still there.
And when people say, you know, for instance, that, you know, the Civil War was not about slavery. It's like, I want to laugh in their face. And sometimes, you know, depending on what state you're from, Texas, excuse me, you know, it's like, because that's how they've been taught, but nobody right. has taken the time to say, you know what? I'm reading books. I'm hearing people where that's not the truth. Let me go to the Library of Congress and pull out those documents and read them yes. for myself. And you will fully see it's laziness. Yeah. And, yes. And she and we, at this time we were doing a training in Kansas and, you know, and she laid this out and people are reading. And some people are like, why didn't I know this?
Yeah.
And I said, it's on purpose that you don't know this.
That's right. That's right.
It's on purpose that you know this, because what I've seen from people, even and mainly from my white brothers and sisters, when they are presented with truth, I see transformation. And that is why we're here today. And that is why when what was happening in 2020 was so fear for a lot of people that were in power. Because when people start learning truth and transforming, that means power dynamics will shift.
Absolutely.
And that is what this is like. People are hunkering down into lies because they don't want to lose power. This is about losing power, you know? And so I think as we get into 2024, we have to do the work. Yes. We have to listen. We have to lament. We have to leverage the positions that we're in to give voice, you know, to people who are speaking truth. We have to learn history and we can't depend on the school system to teach it to us. You are responsible for teaching your children. So as you learn, you need to make it a family decision. So before you going out there with a sign, you know, you know, make sure you're educating yourself and your family. And I would say to Black, Indigenous people of color, people are exhausted. I see you. I hear you. We are tired of saying the same things over and over again. And then seeing rights stripped away. You know, I think about, you know, my Indigenous brothers and sisters, like, you know, just some of the comments that were just made, recently, you know, as it relates to their, you know, land, federal land that they've been given, you know, just how we, you know, just how we even view that. And then the restrictions to that. You know, so many things, and people are exhausted and we're tired, but I would say to us, to be steadfast.
Yes.
Unmovable. Mm. Always abiding in the work of the Lord. So I will call us to be steadfast. Like that is, and to remember where our strength comes from, to remember who our hope is in. Our hope is not in people. Right. You know, that our hope is in God. And it's hard because I hear people talking now where people have given up. They are in despair. They are like, let it all burn down.
Wow.
And that, you know, that is a sense of despair. And I would say that is when we really have to pray and we really have to, cling to Jesus. And I cannot do this work apart from it. There's a lot of people that do it. I like to hold people to certain truths. But people that do our work, a lot of people now that started off, you know, ministering to the church because churches are not wanting to hear this anymore.
Right.
They have, you know, said, hey, it's easier to do this in a secular, environment. And, and that's sad because if anyone should be the headlights in this, it's the followers of Jesus.
Absolutely.
You know, but we have constantly been, the taillights. And so I would say, you know, find your community, find your people, read You know, continue to educate yourself, continue to use your voice, continue to use your buy-in power, continue to call your congresspeople and your senators, you know, continue to attach yourselves to organizations that can help you do that. You know, continue to listen to voices like yourself, you know, Carlos, and, you know, and be the bridge. And there's so many people that's out there, wonderful people, that are out there doing this. And don't let people vilify voices that are trying to lead us toward compassion.
Absolutely.
And loving our neighbor, and to love and stand by those that are the most vulnerable in our societies. If anything is leading you to hate that group, then something's wrong. That's a litmus test. Something is wrong. And so, I would say, you know, to my Black and Indigenous brothers and sisters, to be strong and courageous. To not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so just remember that and lean into that. And, there are people that are using scripture like we saw here, to separate. To deny. Yeah. I heard a pastor say that, you know, diversity is divisive. that being woke from atrocities, to being woke or aware of injustice is wrong. Think about that. Like, it's some crazy stuff out there. You like, and so we are more, we have created an idol out of partisanship. It is an idol. It is the golden calf that really needs to be torn down. And so I pray that that's what begins to happen. You know, in 2024, but I am preparing for, a tough year, you know,
me too.
I am preparing for a tough year. You know, we've seen the height of 2020 where people's hearts we're beginning to transform, people open their eyes. My prayer is that that work that had started will continue. Because I do believe, Carlos, that there are more people who want to do the right thing, than people who don't. But I think I feel like the minority voices are just the loudest right now.
Right. It's true.
And that, the voices of the majority are more silent. And so I'm praying that those voices would break free, and they will support the work of people and organizations that are out here doing the work of justice and righteousness. And, I think that was one of the things that was left out, you know, in that piece that you read, is the righteousness of God. We serve a God that loves justice and righteousness. And what does righteousness look like? You know?
I'm so grateful for you, just for you, for your heart, for this conversation. And, I think this conversation is going to be something that a lot of people can just hang on to. Listen to it every few weeks. Just listen to a few pieces of it and remind yourself there are more people out there that do care. They're just quiet, and we just got to stop being quiet.
And we got to mobilize those people, Carlos. We have to mobilize those people. So if that is you and you're listening, you know, some of the things that, you know, we want you to do is find your people. You know, find other people who are thinking, you know, like you, where you can come together and you can feel support and community, because we are better together, you know? And I think that's the thing, is that we're going to have to partner. We're going to have to collaborate, and we're going to have to do this together. We cannot do this in silos. And I think that is the thing, because when we look at, listen, now think about this. And this is where we start talking about strategy. When we look at Charlottesville, that was actually groups of white supremacist groups, various groups that came together for a purpose. Now, they have different missions and visions and all of that, but they're putting all of that aside to lay it on the table now. And I think we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to put a lot of things aside because our ultimate goal is that all may flourish. We want to see restoration, redemption, and reconciliation. And if we want to see that, if we want to see justice and righteousness, some of these things that are not as essential to the gospel. We need to lay it aside and come together and collaborate, you know, for the glory of God. So,
and when we do that, I think people will begin to realize, wait a second. This isn't just a liberal thing or a conservative thing. Right. This is something that we all can do together.
Yes.
You know, and that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, because all, you know, just, you have to realize that all Democrats don't support the entire Democratic platform.
Right.
And just like all Republicans don't, you know, support the entire Republican platform. And just any, this, just all of that at the end of the day is going to burn. Like that stuff don't matter. That stuff doesn't matter to God. Like, listen, God is looking at your heart and the condition of your heart. You know what I'm saying? And where's your heart leading you? You know? Yeah. And so, and is it causing you to do justice and righteousness for people? Right. You know? But have we made people, are we leaning in hate? You know? There's a lot of things that you may not agree with, but how we treat people and how we do things.
Yes.
But we are dehumanizing people.
Yes. 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 Absolutely.
And God is not in that. God is not in that agenda.
Nope.
So he's not.
Latasha, this has been amazing.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm grateful you're my friend. Yes, so
thank you so much. Thank you for all that you're doing. And I hope to have you on mine soon.
Let's go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Latasha. Thank you, Carlos Whitaker Podcast family. It's still weird for me to say Carlos Whitaker Podcast. I'm sure I've said Human Hope Podcast 40 times in this episode. I'm getting there. This is the stuff. This is the good stuff. This is the thick stuff, the needed stuff. Remember, there's more people who want to do the right thing than people who don't. But people in the minority, they're always the loudest, right? And they're the loudest right now. We can't do this in silos. We're going to have to put a lot of things aside to work together. And I hope this pressed on places in you that maybe needed some pressing, that maybe had taken maybe a couple months or years off. So let's do it. You guys can find out all about Latasha in the show notes. Latasha, thank you so much for being you. Okay, friends, we're there. Conversations. We've got some difficult conversations this month. And they're not all going to be heavy and deep. But some are. This one was, and we've got another one coming that is as well. But I need you to know that I need you here for these conversations. I need you to share this episode. I need you to share these podcasts. I need you to get people to listen, because we're going to be leaning into some things that, that we all need to lean into. And, I'm here for it. I love it. I love this. I'm so happy. Carlos Whitaker Podcast guests. So many new people as well. And again, I'm still not over how happy and hopeful the theme music. I think we need a little bit of it. Here we go. Oh yeah, here it is. Hey, thanks for listening to the Carlos Whitaker Podcast. We'll be back next Thursday. Same time, same place. Actually, what time do these come out? Like midnight? I don't know. Whitney from Wisconsin is the one that sets that, I think. Or maybe it's Haley. I don't know. I love you guys. I love that you support me. Thank you. And we'll see you next week on another episode of the Carlos Whitaker Podcast.